Hey everyone, you're listening to the Dave and Darren podcast. Good morning and welcome to it, February the 11th.
Celebrating an anniversary today.
Who is?
25th anniversary.
Who is?
Buster Douglas and Mike Tyson.
Is that 25 years ago?
25 years ago today,
you
in
know,
Tokyo.
When you watch the video, Tyson won that fight. you laugh.
No, he didn't.
Tyson won that fight.
Oh, he did not.
No, he knocks Douglas down, and there was a slow count. I'm telling you, Mike Tyson won that fight.
You want your money back. I want my money back.
I didn't have any money on that fight.
No, Dad had money on the fight.
And that was a fight that was on at like 3 in the morning because it was in Tokyo, so everyone woke up.
No, yes. That's not true either.
Yes.
No, it was on at night. I saw it.
You saw a replay.
No, I didn't see a replay. How could have I? I saw that it was on like at 11 o'clock at night or something.
It was on in Tokyo.
Well, I know it was in Tokyo.
So
it was
They fought at 4 o'clock in the morning in Tokyo.
They fought early in the morning at Tokyo.
I remember just waking up the next morning, and it didn't make any sense. I would have been.
They didn't even have odds on that fight.
Well, why would you? Why would you?
They have odds on everything.
Not on that. Tyson taking on some tomato can? No. There was no.
Yeah, but you couldn't even get like 40 to 1 odds or anything. There were no odds.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, when you watch that fight, Tyson wins that fight.
So you're not saying he outboxed Buster Douglas that morning. You're just saying that there was a moment where Buster Douglas should have been counted out.
Yes. Yes. Well, that he knocked Buster Douglas down, and there's a slow count.
Mm.
Douglas, it says here Douglas was a 42-1 underdog.
Yeah, but I don't know that you could have got. I don't know that you could have made a bet. Maybe somewhere.
Mirage. Mirage was taking odds. All other casinos declined because they considered the fight a foregone conclusion. So if you went to the Mirage, which is where I always stay when I'm in Vegas,
that's true. That's where you would have placed a bet.
42-1. Yeah, but I wouldn't have put any money on Buster Douglas.
You might have put $10.
No. No, false. In 1990, there's no way. The best boxer in the world going up against Buster Douglas? No. What did he have because everyone was focused on, it was going to be Tyson Holyfield was going to be the next fight. That was going to be the one for the ages.
Mm-hmm.
Buster Douglas had the belt for a little while. Did he lose it on his first title defense to Holyfield?
I think he did.
Yeah. Lost
and
in
then he got
October of 1990.
And then he got big.
He sure did.
I mean, he got big.
Lost to Holyfield in the third round in his only title defense to Evander Holyfield. And then Holyfield had the title forever, right?
Until Mike Tyson decided to try to eat him.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat you now like a Easter rabbit.
Now, you remember you and I were together for that fight. And I predicted it correctly.
No, that's not the fight that you predicted.
What fight was that?
The fight. That was Tyson and Lennox Lewis.
Tyson Lewis. I said Tyson wins in the eighth. And I said it to everybody who would listen. Then Tyson wins in the eighth. And I look at Darren and I go, what did I tell you? And Darren goes, you never said that.
And everyone else was on board too.
And everyone
you were very drunk for one thing.
Yeah.
You were very drunk, and you were furious that people weren't believing that you had called it.
You were all in cahoots.
We were all in cahoots.
I'm like, what'd I tell you? Tyson in the eighth. What'd I tell you?
What'd I tell you? What'd I tell you?
You never said that.
You never said that. I never heard you say that.
I said it like 20 times.
And then everyone else, I told, I had everybody else saying,
boy, y'all love to see Lavora lose his mind. It's a real laugh riot.
You were
watching a man go out of his mind.
That's exactly what you did too.
You know, and that was a night too where, look, I'll admit that I may have been overserved, but we had a buddy who was pissing his pants on display.
Oh, was that night?
It was the same night.
That was that night.
There was a guy who was pissing his pants while he was dry humping a vehicle in the middle of the district.
Yeah, I don't know that he made a prediction on the fight.
No.
I don't know if he even made a prediction about how he was going to get home.
No. Well, then we were playing keep away with him for a while, if you remember correctly.
You can't play keep away with a human being. Like,
this is your problem. This guy has pissed his pants and is going to hang out with us now for another 2 hours.
Khakis.
Yeah, it wasn't a good look.
Well, he didn't seem to mind.
What did he care?
I don't care. It's summer.
I'm out having fun.
Hey, it's summertime and the living is easy.
Mm-hmm.
25 years ago today, Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson.
Well,
wow. Half my life ago.
Douglas Holyfield. How much money do you think Buster Douglas made on that? His first and only title defense.
So this
how much money do you think Buster Douglas made the fight after the Tyson
fight? This is going to be his big payday. Because
yeah, right?
I'm sure he didn't get paid much for the Tyson fight.
Yeah, I don't have the information on how much he made for the Tyson fight, but let's go ahead and assume it was next to nothing.
I will say that he made $8 million.
$8 million to fight Evander Holyfield in October of 1990. It's not bad. It's not a bad guess.
What was it?
In his only title defense, the one where he lost in the third round, Buster Douglas made $24.6 million.
Well, there you go.
$24.6 million payday for the fight, but after taxes, managers, trainers, and the like, he really only walked away with $1.5 million.
One and a half? There's the towel fee.
Okay.
You used more than a couple towels, Buster.
Okay, so his payday for the Holyfield fight, $24.6 million. After he paid his managers and everything, he ended up getting $1.5 million.
That's a bad deal.
His payday for the Tyson fight,
yes,
25 years ago today, $1.3 million.
Oh, yeah. And he owed money.
Well, after he got done paying taxes and managers and trainers and the like, his $1.3 million was
$6.
$15,000.
Boy, you've got some bad management, man.
There's a lot of people in boxing that should be in jail. When you look at all the money that these people made, and to have them be the ones that get their brains damaged.
And they're the ones that don't get the money?
Right. I mean, how much money did Mike Tyson blow? There's a great, it's not a documentary, it's a performance piece, Mike Tyson telling his story. It's directed by Spike Jonze. And I'm telling you, if you even have
any interest
in boxing, you have to watch it.
Yeah.
Because he does an incredible job. Like, it's amazing.
Is this the thing he took on tour?
Yes. Yeah, he did it in Chicago for a while. And it was just sensational. And he's explaining everything in a very likable way. He's talking about everything, the fights and growing up and the time he did in prison for a rape that he still swears he never committed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm apt to believe him the way he's telling the story and how he's in jail and Florence Henderson wants to visit him. Florence Henderson's in Indianapolis where he's in prison doing some sort of dinner theater and she wants to go visit Mike Tyson. And he's not getting a lot of visitors.
Because he didn't want Mrs. Brady to see him in that way,
that's
right?
That's what it was. He says, okay, I don't get any visitors. This is great. Florence Henderson's here. And then as he
starts thinking
he's about ready to go into the room, he's like, no, tell her I can't have Mrs. Brady looking at me in my prison gear.
Right.
I can't have it.
Can't do it.
Yeah. But it meant the world to him that she wanted to come and visit him. The baddest man on the planet, Kid Dynamite, Iron Mike. It's just a damn shame when you
never
look at
wore
all
a robe.
Money. Tyson never wore a robe?
Never wore a robe.
For real?
He would basically just come into the ring without it.
I think he might have had
like a little towel that had a hole cut out and he put his head through it, but that's about it.
You know what else you need to start watching is the cartoon show, The Mike Tyson Mysteries.
He's a crime fighter?
It's the best. It's Mike Tyson, a homosexual ghost, a pigeon that's voiced by Norm MacDonald, and his adopted Asian daughter, and they go around solving mysteries. They solve nothing. It's on Cartoon Network. It's on Adult Swim.
Okay.
And it's the kind of show you laugh so hard that you can't breathe.
Well, he's a big pigeon lover.
Yeah, so the pigeon is just always...
And it's Norm MacDonald.
And it's the most Norm MacDonaldiest pigeon you ever did hear.
Sure.
Yeah. It's not like Norm MacDonald is doing a character, because Norm MacDonald, you know, doesn't really do that. It's not really his thing. Not really into that.
He might be able to do Burt Reynolds as a pigeon, but that's about it. Is it Burt Reynolds as a pigeon? Is it Norm MacDonald's Burt Reynolds as a pigeon?
Now you'd have something.
Uh-huh.
Now that's a thing. You're listening to the Dave and Darren podcast here on NachoRadio.com. maybe you're listening to it on iTunes or on an app on your phone, or let us know the ways that you're listening to it. Maybe you're listening to it live. Maybe you're listening to it this weekend. Maybe it's already Valentine's Day where you're at. What's going on? What are you getting? What are you doing over there?
I don't know. I just got...
He's watching Gilligan's Island I'm doing the theme song here.
I just got a little text, and apparently it's the one where Mr. Howell takes Gilligan's olive.
You can have my olive, Mr.
Already
Howell.
Took yours. The Dave and Darren podcast is brought to you by the Clubhouse Indoor Golf and Lounge at 53rd Avenue in Bettendorf. The Clubhouse, the Quad City's first and only indoor country club. That it's open to everybody, of course, featuring state-of-the-art PGA simulators, a full bar, play some of the world's most well-known courses, including Pebble Beach, St. Andrews, and TPC Sawgrass. It's open 7 days a week where you can play with your friends, join a league, or just play individually to improve your swing. They offer club repair and customization lessons. They also offer drink specials, daily drink specials, multiple TVs to enjoy, including that 20-foot projection TV, which is something to watch. If there's
for being as big as it is, the picture is incredibly sharp.
Yes. Plenty of places to lounge around there, too, and just hide there at the clubhouse if that's what you want to do.
They got that. That's kind of the vibe they've got, where you could just kind of living room it up without being in someone's living room.
You can just disappear.
Yeah.
It's a perfect venue for any event, big or small, and a perfect hangout for golfers and non-golfers alike. Check them out at qcclubhouse.com. And if you'd like a tee time for one of the simulators, and soon we'll have the old Nacho Radio simulator there, 563-322-1561.
At some point today, either right after the show or it may be tomorrow after the show, I'm going to be doing some voiceover work and completing the first episode of the Still Untitled Beer Project.
So are you calling it the Beer Project now?
No, they haven't come up with a title
yet. Where are you doing the voiceover work at?
Maybe here. Maybe there. We haven't quite figured that out.
Why do you have to do voiceover? Is it like Morgan Freeman, beer?
It was at that time that I decided I was going to have an uncommon stout. Andy Dufresne would have enjoyed this beer, but he doesn't get to drink it. I do.
300 yards of sewer to get to that beer.
I'm what you call an easy reader. God, was that the best. Remember Easy Reader? Were you too old to watch The Electric Company growing up?
I knew of it. I don't know that I ever sat down and watched a whole episode.
Oh, man. I loved The Electric Company growing up. Like, that was the greatest show. It was like a Saturday Night Live, but for kids.
I suppose it was.
You had the catchphrases like, hey, you guys. You had a very, super hot Rita Moreno dancing around, telling you how to put words together. You had Spider-Man showing up. It was the greatest. You had Letterman.
Why do you have to do voiceover work? Don't they record your voice while you're there?
Apparently there were some issues.
Oh, they're going to dub it in?
Apparently there were some issues with one of my microphones.
That's marvelous. Yeah. So it's going to be like, what's up, Tiger Lily?
Well, I don't think that's the case. I think that some of it is going to be me doing narration over what we call in the TV business B-roll. So when we're doing the tour of, say, Bent River Brewery, or we're back behind the kitchen there at Barley and Rye, there'll be shots of things going into the oven. I'll be narrating it, explaining, like, now he's putting the meat in the oven.
Could I get a beer? I would like a beer, please. Thank you.
Beijing, Mr. Herman. Mr. Herman, I would like another uncommon stout, please.
Is there beer in... Why is there beer in my ice cream?
Beijing, Mr. Herman. Mr. Herman. So, yeah, the show was supposed to be on in February.
Thing is turning into Waterworld.
It's Heaven's Gate is what it is.
It really is.
And, again, it's supposed to be a weekly show. And we've been working on the first episode.
You mean once a year?
There's supposed to be a different episode every week. And we've been working on episode one since mid-November.
And you don't have a name yet, even.
No. No, it was going to be That Beer Show, but apparently somebody else has a show called That Beer Show.
How about you call it A Beer Show?
I don't know that that's different enough.
I think it is.
I'm not going to worry about the title. These people at Channel 8 know what they're doing. I'm just,
Do they?
I'm just the talent. I just show up and drink beer on camera, and that's the show.
I would like a beer, please.
I would like another beer. This beer is too small.
This beer is good.
I could maybe drink a larger one.
I need a larger beer, please.
Do you remember there was a great bit on Saturday Night Live where Bill Murray was the host? It was in the 90s where he was Hercules. He was doing like a Steve Reeves Hercules.
Yeah.
And he was very much out of shape. And they're like, Hercules, lift this boulder.
That's like,
that boulder is too large. I could maybe lift a smaller one.
That's what I'd like to see on a beer show.
Last week on this very podcast, Darren and I got into an argument, and I guess we invited you listeners to chime in as well with the
school.
Harrington's Pub text line. Text in whenever you like. I almost gave away my cell phone number.
Yeah.
470-23-NACHO. 23-NACHO.
Harrington's Pub, Cumberland Square Drive, Bettendorf. Live music every Thursday night. And again, the live music this Thursday with Powell starting at 8. Drink specials each and every day. Happy hour starting at 2 o'clock every weekday. Home of the Quad City's best Bloody Mary. And just a great place to hang out. 32-ounce Sneaky Pete's. Harrington's Pub, Cumberland Square Drive in Bettendorf. And the discussion we were having was...
Well, no, we were talking about Saturday Night Live, and they're going to be celebrating their 50th anniversary this weekend.
Yes.
And 40th anniversary.
That's right, 40.
And we were discussing who was the greatest player in the history of the show, who's the most important, who's the best.
And you said that there was no
I said it's Eddie Murphy, and I can't see how it's anyone else. You said John Belushi.
Yes, I did.
And on the cover of this month's Rolling Stone, or what does it come out? Once a month, twice a week? What was it? Well, I don't know if it was
twice a month.
There he is, John Belushi, ranked as the number one star. And they rank every cast member ever.
Yes.
All the way to the very bottom. The worst cast member of all time they have at number 141, right below the Muppets.
Yes.
They've got Robert Downey Jr.
Well, and I think the reason they did that is because he could actually handle it. If you did it to someone who was a really, really a nothing, that would be pretty hurtful. Hey, did you see you're ranked last? Whereas with Robert Downey Jr., you say, hey, did you see you're ranked last? But it's like, yeah, but I'm Iron Man.
Here's the bottom 10. Jay Moore at 131.
Take that.
I could see that.
Take that.
Then they have the one-offs, which is Laurie Metcalf and Emily Prager from the 1980-81 season.
Okay.
Then Randy Quaid.
I didn't know she was on that.
Laurie Metcalf, yeah, very briefly. Randy Quaid, Norm MacDonald, Colin Quinn, Gilbert Gottfried, Victoria Jackson, Jim Brewer, the Muppets, and Robert Downey Jr. is the bottom of the
Well, plenty of people. Yeah, but those are kind of famous people.
Yeah.
Compared to some of them.
Well, yes, yeah, certainly.
There are some that you're like, what? Who? Huh?
Right, right. Certainly bigger than,
But
say,
I think that's why they probably put Robert Downey Jr. last. Because,
Tony Rosato.
Yeah.
They have Charles Rocket, our guy Charles Rocket, 127 here.
Oh, boy.
And they mentioned that he died tragically in 2005. When you say someone died tragically, that could mean that they caught an illness or that they were in a car accident.
He
went out into a field and cut his own head off with a chainsaw. And I think if you're going to do that as your way out, that needs to be honored.
Ooh.
Like, everyone needs to know that that's how Charles Rocket died.
I hope everyone does. That is something.
Cut his own head off with a chainsaw and did it in a field so that people didn't have to clean up the mess.
Out here in the field.
So they have John Belushi at number one, Eddie Murphy, my guy, at number two. Who do you think they have at number three?
Well, I'm cheating because I saw it. Tina Fey.
Tina Fey at number three.
I don't know that that's correct.
Oh, I don't know that you can argue. I think I
would go with a Bill Murray.
Bill Murray,
or
they have
Dan Aykroyd. Either one of them.
Here's their top 10. John Belushi, number one. They say nobody embodied the highs and lows of Saturday Night Live like Belushi.
I think that's right.
He was the first rock and roll star of comedy. A touch of John Lennon's soul behind all that Keith Richards pirate bravado. All the extremes were there in his weird physique. A wrestler's body with a dancer's feet. A palooka face with a showgirl's eyelashes.
True.
He was the first to make a cocaine joke on Saturday Night Live. As well as the first to make the host gush blood after accidentally slashing him in the head with a samurai sword. That would be a Buck Henry that he did that to.
Yep.
Number two, they have Eddie Murphy saying, it's customary and accurate to say Eddie Murphy is the only reason Saturday Night Live survived the five-year wilderness without Lorne Michaels. Nobody had seen anything like him. He stood out from anyone else on TV, mostly by being so young. He was the first post-boomer comedy star, a kid born in the 60s and down with the 80s. He mocked Saturday Night Live's racial hang-ups, and he could make any moment memorable. I like that. Number three, they got Tina Fey. Four, Mike Myers. Five, Dan Aykroyd. Six, Bill Murray. Seven, Phil Hartman. Eight, Amy Poehler. Nine, Gilda Radner. And 10, they say, is Chevy Chase.
There you be.
Yeah, it's a pretty well thought out article. I still want to go with Eddie Murphy, but having read this, I see what your point is.
Thank you.
I understand where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. And if most people want to say John Belushi, I suppose maybe I have to go along with that. I say Eddie Murphy in part two because that's when I really started watching
Saturday
Night
Live. Well, yeah, but that doesn't count.
Well, it should count.
That's through your prism. But to make it the... You know,
how else am I to judge the world, Darren? I watched... Listen, there's not an episode, there's not a bit that John Belushi ever did on Saturday Night Live that I haven't watched in reruns on
DVDs.
I've seen it all.
And to this day, you've...
And a lot of it is not funny.
And to this day, you still eat a lot of little chocolate donuts.
I did a lot of little chocolate donuts. Get me ready for those Olympics.
The Dave and Darren podcast is originating, as it always does, from the Hickey Brothers Cigar Store and Hookah Lounge Studio. Tired of... Or trying to quit smoking, or tired of freezing outside? And you'll do it this week, my friends. No doubt about it. Smoke electronically with a vapor pen. They're very cool. And you'll look like a real hipster. You can get one from Hickey Brothers. Choose from over 100 different flavors and dozens of pens, nicotine or non-nicotine. Hickey Brothers, 18th Street in the District of Rock Island. Online at HickeyBrothers.com. I had a friend who's just got himself a vapor pen from Hickey Brothers.
Yeah.
And going with the, he's got a variety of different flavors, but he's experimenting with the key lime pie.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting. It'll be around this time next month I'll start watching, because it's not really for me St. Patrick's Day until I see Belushi give his diatribe about
the
Irish.
Oh, they love their mothers.
And his friend Danny Sullivan. They love their mothers. When he rolls off the stage, when he's on the desk and just rolls off.
Yeah.
That could be the funniest number bit in the history of that show.
All time.
I'm starting to come around. Belushi probably is the best. The more I think about just that bit alone. He was not holding trafficking finger hash.
That's right. Not
Why
holding.
Why don't you ask your mother for the money, which was a dumb thing to say. Oh, they love their mothers. Let's do the top five things.
Do it.
Number one.
Well, this is big news, isn't it? Did you see who's coming to Wrigley Field in September? AC/DC.
Are they?
AC/DC Rock or Bust Tour, going to be at Wrigley Field on Tuesday, September the 15th.
Now, how many shows can Wrigley do a year? Four?
Seems like they're doing
three?
More and more, right?
Well, yeah, because now they're doing them in... Well, they've done them in the fall, though, haven't they? They did Pearl Jam in the fall. Did they do Pearl Jam in the fall?
Yeah, it rained the whole time.
I saw
I know
Springsteen
that.
In the fall.
You saw that at
Wrigley.
Yeah. Well, usually they don't have to worry about that park being used in the fall for anything. So,
hey now.
Go ahead and book them all, but... Yeah, September the 15th, AC/DC. I know Foo Fighters are doing a show at Wrigley this year.
Billy Joel's doing a show.
Jeez.
He's back again. He's been there before.
Billy Joel's touring?
Well, no. He just goes out.
He just does one-offs.
He does one-offs. He's been kind of had that residency in Madison Square Garden.
Right. He did like 23 straight
nights.
And
he'll continue to do it, I think, is what he said. As long as they continue to sell out or... close to sell out.
Now, Billy Joel's gimmick, and this I admire, he's done writing songs.
Yes.
Because he realizes he's not going to write anything as good as what he wrote in the 70s.
He said he's written everything that he's written.
Right. That there's no
Which
point.
Isn't true, but...
Oh, no, it is.
Well, he's never going to write a hit again, probably. No.
Right?
Unless it was maybe in a movie or something.
Nobody wants to hear anything. And the thing about Billy Joel is, and I wouldn't pay 2 cents to see Billy Joel, but...
I shook his hand once.
And where was this?
At one of his shows.
Was he performing? That's rude.
He was performing.
Oh, she takes care of herself. Mr. Joel, I'm a huge fan. Darren Pitra.
Well,
I don't know how you got on stage, friend, but there you go.
I wasn't on stage. He was shaking other people's hands at the time. But that's when he was with Christie Brinkley. And I was thinking, I'm never going to wash this hand again.
Oh, girls.
Oh, gross.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, you're a gross one.
Yank me a thing. I'm the piano man.
You're gross.
Gross. So you met Billy Joel on what tour?
I didn't meet him.
What tour? You didn't meet him? You just shook his hand.
Shook his hand. He was, you know, he's doing it. He's putting his hand into the crowd.
Oh, so you must have had really good seats.
I did. Or I snaked my way up
was
there.
Was this in Chicago or
Iowa
here?
City.
Iowa City. Carver Hawkeye?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know he played there.
Yep.
So what tour would that have been? Rhythm of River of Dreams or some Drekka like that?
No, it probably would have been his, what was the name of the album that had Uptown Girl on it?
Oh,
I should know this.
Cold Spring Harbor.
No, that was his first record. The one that had Tell Her About It.
That would be Stormfront.
No, not Stormfront.
The Bridge.
No, not The Bridge.
An Innocent Man.
There you go.
Innocent Man, that was the name of the album?
Innocent Man.
An Innocent Man.
Yeah.
That was his tribute because he wanted to do like a 50s doo-wop record.
That was his pre-Beatles tribute.
Pre-Beatles tribute.
Right.
Like what music sounded like before the Beatles?
Exactly.
Keep the Faith was on that one. The Longest Time. Leave a Tender Moment Alone.
Yeah, sure. It was a monster.
Yeah. Tell Her About It. Uptown Girl. Jeez. This is a monster. 7 singles on that son of a bitch.
I know.
Nylon Curtain, though. That's the record, right?
For me, it is.
That's your favorite.
That one, yeah. That's one of my favorites.
That's got Allentown and Pressure on it.
Right.
And good... We had a bunny in college. Who,
here we go.
Oh, no. And he lives in the Quad Cities. And this guy was...
his song was Pressure?
No.
What's your theme song? Pressure.
No, it gets better than that. He would go out to the bars. He was like 2 years older than us, but he was on the floor with us, like, because we were all like freshmen there in Beckman. And he had been kicked out of a number of colleges. Mm-hmm. So like this was his last chance.
Right.
Right. And what he would do, because he was able to go out to the bars and we weren't.
Sure.
And he would come home and just be hammered.
Yeah.
And he'd want to take his pants off and sing Goodnight Saigon in the most earnest way possible.
Wow.
It was something else. Not naked, like in his underpants.
Yeah.
God damn it, play Goodnight Saigon.
Uh-huh, sure.
And he would sing it and it was like, he's only 2 years older than us, so yeah. He's not like Vietnam vet.
No.
But this is what I feel like it would be like to have a Vietnam vet on the floor.
Who's having a tough time.
God bless. Yeah. Pressure in Allentown and Innocent Man came out the year after that. Songs in the Attic's not the worst.
Yeah, that was more of a hodgepodge thing, I believe.
Hodgepodge. That was just stuff that was left laying around.
And then I like Turnstiles, too.
Which one is that?
That's earlier.
Give me Glass Houses.
Well, that's good, too.
Yeah. Sometimes a Fantasy.
That was kind of his response to punk.
The beauty of this podcast is we're supposed to be talking about AC/DC at Wrigley Field, and we just did 7 minutes on Billy Joel. Aren't we something else? Tickets
go on. Something else. I don't know if that's the beauty of the podcast.
You know what the problem is with this podcast? Tickets, if you want to see AC/DC in Wrigley Field, and I have a feeling this is going to go out of...
Yeah.
We're going to sell out in probably 20 seconds.
Does our guy Jeff Rusk know about this?
I texted him immediately this morning.
Sure.
And I said, I have to assume this is your idea.
That he finally made this happen?
Right. And he says, you're damn right it is. He says, why do you think I bought season tickets this year?
Do they have the bleachers ready?
Now,
you wouldn't be able to sit in the bleachers for a concert anyway, right?
Sure you could. You've been to shows at Wrigley. They put the stage there in center field, right?
Yeah, but they don't have anyone in the bleachers.
I imagine they will.
No, I don't think so. Because I don't think you could see anything other than just the backs of people's heads.
Well, you know what? For
some shows,
maybe
it's okay.
Maybe you only pay $50 for that.
I only want to see the back of their heads.
Aren't they putting like some sort of giant patio behind the bleachers there, like across from where Murphy's is? Aren't they supposed to have like a bar patio kind of thing? You can't tell me people wouldn't want to hang out in that patio, hear the show, and drink beer.
Could be.
People want to go see awful baseball and drink beer at that place. Why wouldn't they want to go hear AC/DC?
Not this year. Division title.
I think that's a little early.
It probably is. We don't know that any of these kids are going to be any good.
you don't. But,
no, we don't.
But it's going to be a fun year. It's going to be a fun year to watch that team.
We don't.
It really is. It's going to be a
So is anyone else playing with AC/DC?
I don't see them. I mean, I know the Foo Fighters show is like
because you
Foo Fighters is basically they're headlining, and they want to do everyone that was on that episode of Sonic Highway. So Naked Raygun is playing with them. Cheap Trick is playing with them.
Okay.
Buddy Guy? No.
Cheap Trick is out this summer with Peter Frampton. Boy, that's a
pass.
That's a show that's built for me. Not going to happen.
Why not?
Nah, I've seen all the shows I'm going
to
see.
My buddy Pete texted me this morning. Might be going to see The Replacements.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I haven't seen him
since. I've already seen him.
When did you see them at?
Saw him at the Call Ballroom.
Here in town?
Oh, yeah.
When was that?
'90?
Wow.
Maybe.
Foo Fighters is August 29th with Cheap Trick and Naked Raygun. Oh, and Urge Underground.
Urge Underground.
Yeah. Or, I mean, Urge Overkill.
Urge Overkill.
Sorry. Urge Overkill.
Cool.
Yeah. So, I saw The Replacements at Grant Park, which was supposed to be the last show they ever did.
See, I'm surprised that the Foo Fighters aren't playing with AC/DC. That seems like a perfect match.
That's too much.
Don't you think Dave Grohl would be all about playing with AC/DC?
He would be. I mean, who's to say he doesn't show up? But I know when they were doing Highway to Hell on the Grammys Sunday night, the first person they showed in the crowd was Dave Grohl going out of his mind.
Of course.
Side note about the AC/DC. I was scheduling tunes today for Solid and Planet Alt. Two great channels that you can hear on Nacho Radio. And I'm scheduling, and Highway to Hell comes up.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, okay, let's put that in. Here's the thing about AC/DC. We don't just play six songs by AC/DC
like our pals at FM.
It's their entire catalog. It's their entire catalog.
Everything.
There's not one AC/DC song that we won't play.
Except the ballads.
Right. But this is my point. Those stations launched on October 1st. Although, really, for about 2 or 3 weeks before that, I was scheduling tunes just to make sure, you know, try and figure out how everything works. So let's say mid-September, really, in earnest, is when I've been scheduling tunes on Solid. This morning is the first time we've ever gotten around to playing Highway to Hell.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's never been heard on Solid yet. We've played at least 100 different AC/DC songs. We're just this morning getting around to playing Highway to Hell for the first time. That's the variety that you get on those channels.
If AC/DC had a ballad,
yeah,
would it be Rock and Roll Ain't Nose Pollution?
Rock and Roll Ain't Nose Pollution?
Rock and Roll.
Rock and Roll Ain't Boogers, Man!
Rock and Roll Ain't Nose Pollution. Like pollution in
rock and roll
in your nose.
It's just a boogers in your nose. Ah.
Rock. Is that it? Is that the ballad? If they had one?
If they had a ballad, sure. Oh. But they don't have a ballad.
Mm.
So I'm going to go ahead and say no. If they had a ballad, that's it. But no.
Number two.
Jon Stewart announced yesterday he is done as the host of The Daily Show.
Good riddance!
And he seems as though he's just kind of really at his wit's end.
Here's the thing. He's done it for 17 years.
Is that right?
And he was saying, if you watched last night's show, he's saying that the show deserves a host that isn't restless.
And what's he's restless about just other projects.
Well, he's got other stuff he wants to do.
Right.
And he mentioned that like he wants to have dinner with his kids.
Uh-huh.
Like that would be something he'd like to do.
Sure.
So he's got other stuff that he wants to do. But to do that show for 17 years, and I have to imagine facing the prospect of another presidential election,
right.
Get out while the getting's good, especially the knuckleheads both parties are going to throw at us this time around. Just get the hell out of there. He doesn't want to do it anymore. And if you watch the last couple of months, it seems like he's kind of tuned out,
yeah.
Which you could do when
sure,
you're doing the same thing for
sure.
17 years. So, yeah, he made the announcement, and really no one saw this coming. He said he doesn't know. It could be.
Yeah,
it could be
tomorrow.
His contract's up in September, but he and Comedy Central are trying to figure this out. He said it could be December, it could be September, it could be July.
I've got a perfect replacement for him.
Now I'm glad you say that because who could do that? I'll tell you what the internet wants. The internet wants the next host of The Daily Show to be Amy Poehler.
No, I got something. I got someone who can start today.
Who's that?
Brian Williams.
Okay, but no.
Brian Williams. Brian freaking Williams can do that job. Do your job. He can do it. John Stewart, I never saw him. I never saw it coming, to tell you the truth.
That he would be quitting?
No, I never saw it coming to that he would rise to the level that he did.
Well, yeah.
Back when he was just an MTV VJ.
Oh, yeah. No, those shows are hard to watch.
I just didn't see it coming. And I'll say this, after with all the success and influence that Jon Stewart has had over the years. Mm-hmm. Take that, Craig Kilborn.
You know, you mentioned...
take that...
You mentioned Brian Williams, and that is number three. The whole situation with Brian Williams. We'll get to that in a second. But Brian Williams is not the most trusted name in news for a lot of people. It's Jon Stewart, which I think tells you how messed up things are in the news.
Will
world
he take
right now.
That job then?
Jon Stewart is not going to be the news.
He's not going to do NBC News.
And now we turn to a story that hits very close to home for all of us who work at NBC News. Brian Williams, who's anchored nightly news since 2004, has been suspended from his job for 6 months. NBC national correspondent Peter Alexander has more on that. Peter, good morning to you.
This is so awkward to watch NBC reporting how they're golden
boy. This is perfect for you.
This was the most fun I had this morning was watching this. I was scheduling tunes, and then I saw it was 7 o'clock, and I ran to the TV because I had to see NBC awkwardly covering this story. Brian Williams, number three on the top five things you need to know. Brian Williams suspended without pay for 6 months.
You know what?
And they're still digging around because there may have been more stories he told that weren't true.
Well, then now you've got something that might be pathological.
Well, yeah.
You know what I would have done if I was them? And I wish they would have done this.
If you're NBC News, how do you fix this? Because I don't see they're saying he's off for 6 months.
He could be done. He could very
well be done. How does he come back?
I don't know that.
How does he come back?
Well, the only
way he's a punchline. One,
yeah.
Two, it's not like he got suspended for banging a cocktail waitress. He got suspended for making up things.
Well, this
you can't make up things when your job is you're the number one top dog at a news organization.
Well, this is how he survives if he survives.
I don't see how he does.
This is how he survives if he survives. The fact that people just don't care after about 2 days of anything.
No, this has been more than a week, man.
Well, I understand, but they're giving him 6 months. You're going to forget that he, I guess he did get suspended. But this is what I would have done with the story that they had to do about Brian Williams being suspended.
Mm-hmm.
Is I would have used the footage of him when he was doing that crazy, crazy walk on the Today Show with his arms next to his side.
He likes to have fun.
He does have a good time.
He's a guy who likes to
remember when
goof
he did
around
that?
And
that whole crazy walk thing that he did?
What? When he hosted Saturday Night Live, he was a riot. And I thought, he's so talented that he's able to be so imaginative.
Well, there's a reason why.
He wasn't. It's what he does. I don't see. And I really like Brian Williams. But if you're a punchline and we can't trust you to tell us the truth when you're the top guy at NBC News.
Now, he's allowed to go do anything he wants to right now, right?
I don't know. Is he? What else?
Six months without pay.
Well, I'm sure that there's some sort of thing in the
Brian
in the
Williams
deal.
Between two boobs on the Dave and Darren podcast.
Well, Mr. Williams, if you're listening, and I have to imagine you are.
You don't even have to explain yourself.
No.
Because I'm not interested.
We don't even have to talk about it. In fact, let's just move on. But if you are listening, Bri.
Bri, we're this close.
Bri, buddy. Come on, buddy. Come on to the podcast.
Buddy.
It'll be good for both of us. Number four, Heinz ketchup mixed with sriracha sauce is a real thing.
Sure it is.
Company will be releasing it later on this month. Heinz ketchup mixed with sriracha.
This whole sriracha thing is kind of a fascinating story because it's been around for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then now it has just exploded to the point where, I think this guy was always making money. The guy who started this.
The sriracha guy?
Yeah.
Mr. Sriracha?
Mr. Sriracha.
Actually, I believe he's an English lord. He's Sriracha, is his name.
But, and now.
Oh, David.
It's too easy.
Oh, it's so easy, David.
But now that it's just exploded, and it's got to be in everything. It's got to be part of every chip. It's
potato chips.
It's got to be everything.
Sure.
So it's a heartwarming story of sriracha.
People have been clamoring, Heinz says, for this new flavor, which is a perfect flavor boost for both chicken and eggs.
Well, they've already had the jalapeno Heinz ketchup.
Oh, I am not familiar with that.
Oh yeah, you can get that.
I've not seen that. What sort of specialty ketchup store do you go to?
I believe you can get it at a little off the beaten path place called Hy-Vee.
Is that so?
Uh huh.
Is that a thing?
Yes.
Five.
Tom Brady, as you know, won the MVP trophy for the Super Bowl 49. And when you get the MVP trophy, they give you a Chevy truck. And Tom Brady gave that Chevy pickup to Malcolm Butler, the rookie who
won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the rookie who won the Super Bowl. Yeah, exactly. He gave him the truck that came along with the MVP honors. Butler says, Tom's a great guy for doing that, and he gets the keys. They asked him, are you a truck guy? He said, I am now. What do you think of that? Good news, bad news. Good news, you get that Chevy truck. Bad news, you have to pay Uncle Sam the taxes on that truck.
Now, I heard Brady was going to pay that, too. Or he can't.
I don't see how he can.
He can't.
Butler has to write a check to the government for $14,000.
Well, how expensive was the truck?
That's what I want to know.
What kind of super truck is this? The Bruce Jenner tank?
When you buy a truck at the...
You don't pay $14,000 in taxes.
I wouldn't think. Unless it's some sort of...
Because it's a
It's
gift.
Probably like crazy detailed and... Yeah, maybe it's because it's something you won.
Still.
Yeah, because gifts are taxed differently than... It's not a gift. It's something that you earned.
I suppose.
So it's income, right?
Yeah.
So that income would be taxed at a higher level. It's not a gift. You earned the truck.
It comes with Bruce Jenner, who will text for you?
But how hard would it be for Tom Brady to take the truck, take the ownership,
yeah,
and then just give him the truck with the title and or just sign it over there?
Or just sell it to him.
I'll sell it to you for a dollar.
Exactly.
And then when no one's looking, I'll give you the dollar back. Yeah, it seems to me like this is a really nice gesture, but at the same time... Tom Brady doesn't need another truck.
You can take a poke at my wife if you'd like.
Don't think he's offering that. That's not something.
No one needs to know.
Gosh, Tom. Thanks.
Gee, thanks, Tom.
Jeepers, Mr. Brady.
Mr. Brady.
I don't want to.
Thank you, Mr. Brady.
I don't want Mrs. Brady seeing me like this.
That's what Dad already said. I never said that. Shut up!
Eye for an eye, Dad. Now we're going to enjoy another delicious Bent River Brewery beer. Hello, everyone. I'm Dave, host of the show. We don't have a name for it yet.
I am Dave Lavora.
Hello, friends.
Paging Mr. Dave Lavora.
Paging Mr. Herman. Mr. Herman. Yeah. Looking forward to that. I've never done a TV voiceover before.
Ask him if he can do it in that voice.
Welcome, friends.
Or just give him that.
just
give him that. And say, Dave, what are you doing here? What do you mean? What am I doing here? I gave you the voiceover. I read it just the way you wanted me to read it.
Dave, you're reading it like a
maniac.
Robot with an emotional issue.
With an attitude.
Paging Mr. Herman. Mr. Herman. Here's a story of the American way, and this is the sort of go-getterness that I think this country needs more of. I enjoy stories of plucky young people making money by just using their noodle. That's really what I think drives this great nation.
Drives you crazy. It's like, why did I think of that?
Girl Scout Danielle Lee. Selling her Girl Scout cookies.
Mm-hmm.
You got to sell your Girl Scout cookies. You could go door to door like a schlup.
Yep.
And just, I mean, when you're a kid and you have to do that door to door stuff.
Yeah, but at least you're a kid.
That's the worst. That's the worst.
At least you're a kid.
But people don't care that you're a kid. People are monsters even when you're a kid.
Do it when you're an adult.
No thanks.
See the look you get.
And Sheely says Girl Scout cookies to sell. We're trying to sell internet radio.
Try that.
Maybe we should.
Oh, boy.
Maybe when we go on these calls, we should have some Thin Mints with us.
Oh, I tell you what.
Not the worst thing.
I tell you what, some of the looks you get, like, huh?
Well, Danielle Lee, Girl Scout, has to sell Girl Scout cookies, and she decides, this is in San Francisco now.
Yes.
She finds the best place in town to sell Girl Scout cookies.
The bathhouse.
Outside of a Green Cross weed dispensary.
Nice!
Oh, you getting your weed in there, mister?
Oh, yeah.
I got Girl Scout cookies here when you're done.
But then again...
Genius.
Yeah, but then again, I think that whole thing about, I gotta have something to munch, I'm high, that's Yumboism.
No, it's not.
I think it is. I think it's Yumboism.
No, it's not.
I think it is. I think everyone's been Yumboed.
Are you going to sit here and tell me munchies aren't a real thing?
That's what I'm telling you. I think it's much more likely that at the end of the night of a big night of drinking that you're much more likely to go on some sort of holy tear of eating than if you just smoke a joint and you're like, oh man, I'm high, I got to get a ding dong. Nah, Yumbo. Yumbo.
Look.
Yumbo.
Yeah, I've never done one without the other.
Yumbo.
So I my munchies could be related to the booze or to dope.
See, I think it's much more likely that you're going to be I'm going to eat everything in the house after you've had a big night of drinking than as opposed to someone just having a little bit of pot and going, oh my God, I've got to eat two bags of Doritos. I've got to have some cookies. Yumbo.
You think that's a Yumbo?
I think it's a Yumbo.
Who started this?
I don't know.
The snack food industry?
Probably. Could very well be, David.
Munchies are a thing.
Good for you. It could very well be that this is all Hostess.
Frito-Lay sells bags of stuff
could
they
be
call.
Frito-Lay and Hostess getting together, and it's like, you know what? We're going to float the idea that when you smoke marijuana, you get the munchies.
Gentlemen, welcome to the sale holders meeting here.
Exactly.
It's 1965.
Yeah.
We here at Frito-Lay and Little Debbie feel that we can accomplish much.
These beet combos are going to mean that kids are going to be smoking marijuana. And when they do, they need to know that they're hungry for food. These long-haired beet combos.
Here's what we do with these peaceniks. We convince them somehow that after they smoke their reefer cigarettes, that they need to get a ding-dong or maybe a box of potato chips.
That's exactly right.
We make it part of the lexicon to the point where no one will... We can't do it in overt advertising,
no!
Gentlemen. We got to take it to the streets like we did in the 70s.
Like the 1870s.
And by that I mean 1870s, as the 1970s are 5 years away.
Right.
Why I'm talking in my 1940s voice in the 60s, I don't know.
That's exactly right. That's what happened.
A mass
Yumboism
conspiracy. I think munchies are a very real thing.
I don't.
You think it's just...
I think you're much more likely to eat everything in the house after a big night of drinking than having smoked a little pot and going, oh my God, I've got to eat a bunch of donuts, man. What do you think? Let us know, dope smokers. The Harrington's Pub text line, 470-23-NACHO. Harrington's Pub, Cumberland Square Drive, Bettendorf. Live music every Thursday night at 8 o'clock this week. It is Powell. Happy hour every Monday through Friday, 2 to 6. Drink specials every day. Home of the Quad City's best Bloody Mary. Make sure you have one. And the 32-ounce Sneaky Pete, Harrington's Pub, Cumberland Square Drive, Bettendorf.
Here's one from the 563 area code that says that they were at that Wrigley Field Pearl Jam show and the bleacher seats were, in fact, closed off.
I don't think they have those open.
Fish Lips says, us Cubs fans are loyal and honest. We know we suck and just waiting for a turnaround. Well, thank you for that, Fish Lips. Brian says, Brian Williams will be okay. He makes like $10 million a year.
No, I understand that he's got quite a bit of money in the bank.
Mm-hmm. And Lindsay...
But he's disgraced right now. You understand that?
Lindsay Sangsoriasak texts this in. Good morning, fellas. I'd like to wish my incredibly awesome son, Aiden Sangsoriasak, a very happy birthday. He turned 6 today. Hope it is at least half as wonderful as you are, my sweet, sweet baby boy. Mama loves you so much.
Yeah, well, if we're going to...
Aiden is 6 today. How about that?
If we're going to do birthdays, then I'll wish my nephew, Ryan, a happy birthday. He's 18 today.
Right on.
So I sent him a text, which I haven't received a response from. I'm sure
probably won't
for a little while. It just basically said, happy birthday. Have a great day. Don't forget to vote.
Sue says that she gets the munchies just thinking about smoking.
Oh, no.
This, I'm telling you, this is not yumbo. This is not a yumbo.
Everybody yumbo.
This Girl Scout sold 208 boxes of Thin Mints, Samoas, and the like in 2 hours.
Yeah.
Doubling her four-day sales total. She does it right across from the legal weed dispensary in San Francisco.
Okay.
In Colorado, they've already thought this out, and the Girl Scouts are banned from selling their cookies outside of dispensaries.
Uh-huh.
Which is, it says here, much to the chagrin of both the Girl Scouts and the customers.
I think you're all being taken.
Thin Mints are the perfect cookie when you're high.
Well, I'm not saying it's not a good cookie.
In fact, there are strains of marijuana that taste like Thin Mints, right?
I don't know.
There are, trust me, and you do know.
I don't know.
You know more about it than I do.
I don't know. I don't know anything about any sort of chocolate marijuana. Where am I going to get my hands on chocolate marijuana?
I don't know, but if you do.
But if you do, let me know. Will you let me know? The Dave and Darren podcast is brought to you by the Clubhouse Indoor Golf and Lounge. They are located on 53rd Avenue in Bettendorf. The Clubhouse, the Quad City's first and only indoor country club featuring state-of-the-art PGA simulators. Of course, open to everybody, open to the public. A full bar, play some of the world's most well-known courses, open 7 days a week. It almost never closes. They open at 10 a.m. each and every day. Play with friends, join a league, or play individually to improve your swing. They offer club repair and customization, a full line of custom shafts, including Fujikura, Mitsubishi, Acura, custom clubs like Callaway, Henry Griffith, and K2G. Lessons are available for everyone, regardless of what your skill level is. They have junior golf clinics. They have daily drink specials, a perfect venue for any event, and a perfect hangout for everybody. Check them out, qcclubhouse.com. If you need a tee time, you really probably need to, well, you need to call, because you can't do that on the website. 563-322-1561 for tee times at the Clubhouse Indoor Golf and Lounge.
You know who used to trip balls back in the day? Just trip, but not smoking dope. I'm talking full-on freak out.
Mickey Rooney.
No, you're close. Dinosaurs. Dinosaurs, including Triceratops, grazed on a prehistoric form of LSD.
Well, I don't doubt it.
This is according to new research. Grass specimens dating back 100 million years, covered in a fungus that's similar to ergot, which is the active ingredient in LSD.
I don't doubt it.
You got a Triceratops tripping balls?
Yep.
This is why we got to get the time machine figured out. That would be one of the first things I'd want to
see. Are you excited about the new time machine, the hot tub time machine thing?
No.
No?
No. And I like the first one well enough. There's no need for hot tub time machine 2, is there?
I have a feeling this will be better than the first one.
Is anyone excited about hot tub time machine 2?
Now, John Cusack's not going to be in this, right?
Well, that makes me want to see it more.
Well, that's exactly right. They know what they're doing.
It's like Horrible Bosses. I really enjoyed that movie.
Yeah.
But it was one where when I was done seeing it, you can see a movie and enjoy it and say, that was fun. I never need to see it again.
Yeah.
And there doesn't need to be a sequel.
Right.
Horrible Bosses, too. When I saw the trailer for that, I thought, come on. And then this Hot Tub Time Machine 2. Stop. Just stop. If anything, and it's not like either of those movies were runaway blockbusters.
No. And I don't know that I've seen the first one.
You haven't seen Hot Tub Time Machine?
I've seen parts of it.
See, you would love the Crispin Glover bit the most, I think.
Is that where he's got his arm hacked off?
Yeah. And they're trying to figure out how it happens.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty good. It is.
So see, there you go.
It's not bad. But no one's excited about...
Maybe. The Dave and Darren podcast is originating from the Hickey Brothers Cigar Store and Hookah Lounge Studio. Grab your friends and get to a $10 off Hookah Night Thursday. That's tomorrow, kids.
Uh-huh.
At Hickey Brothers Cigar Store and Hookah Lounge, choose from over 100 different flavors, old school or electronic. Hickey Brothers, 18th Street in the District of Rock Island, and online at HickeyBrothers.com. And if you're there and you listen to us, when you're there, let our guy Mike King know, because he'd love to hear that you're listening to Nacho Radio.
Mm.
Appreciate it. Thank you, friends.
Make that happen for us, won't you, friends? Dinosaurs tripping balls.
Well, they're eating everything. And they're going to get a load of some stuff.
Samples of it were found in grass preserved in amber in Burma. You might call it Myanmar, but it'll always be Burma to me. And in animals, this ergot can trigger hallucinations, delirium, convulsions, and the staggers.
Uh-oh, that dinosaur's got the staggers.
He's, look at him, staggering around
staggering.
In such a way.
He's Detroit leaning.
Triceratops Doc Ellis has just thrown a no-hitter.
He's done it.
There is no doubt, according to this journal, Paleodiversity, there is no doubt that this would have been eaten by dinosaurs. Although we can't know for sure what effect it had on them. But probably Triceratops were tripping balls. Probably, right? If you are a water manager for a town as big as San Francisco, and by the way, if you're going to San Francisco, make sure to wear some flowers in your hair. You're going to meet some special people there. And the Girl Scouts will sell you Thin Mints right outside the legal weed dispensary. City employee paid to manage the water supply. He's in a little bit of trouble. What's the one thing you can do to get in trouble as a guy in charge of the water supply of a town, you think?
Putting something in it?
Yeah, taking a piss in a reservoir. The reservoir that supplies drinking water to 2.5 million people.
Or bathing in it. But that would be putting something in it. Putting yourself in it.
I need this.
Having a bubble bath. Taking a big bubble bath in it.
With a rubber ducky.
Rubber ducky, you're the one. La-dee-dee, la-dee-da.
I'm just an angel in disguise. La-da-dee, la-dee-da.
He's got his brush and his cap and his rubber duck, and I'm going to, right here, right in the water supply.
La-da-dee, la-da-da, I'm but an angel in disguise. No, taking a piss in the water supply is what you're not supposed to do.
I suppose.
Martin Sanchez could be suspended for up to 5 days without pay after a urination event on January 6th at the Priest Reservoir.
Your Honor, in my defense, I was a dirty Sanchez at the time. La-dee-dee, la-dee-da.
I don't understand. A urination event. What is this, the Toyota-thon? I don't get it.
Which is over, by the way.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yep, missed it.
So you take a leak in the drinking water. They suspend you for 5 days without pay?
That's all you get?
That's it. Brian Williams stretched the truth. He's out for 6 months without pay.
Yeah, he didn't physically do anything.
You took a leak in my water, dude.
I've had this taste in my mouth before. Certain wang to it.
They say that if he were to pee in the wrong place again, then he will get fired.
Next time! It's like your buddy who just... well, I mean, it's not the same thing. The guy who got fired from the pizza place.
Tom Basidius?
Because he kept... what's his last name?
Tom Basidius.
Okay, Insidious.
Not Insidious. Tom Basidius.
Tom Insidious.
Tom was the guy who got fired from Happy Joe's for passing an ambulance. While delivering pizza, he passed an ambulance with its lights on twice. There were two separate incidents where he went around an ambulance with his lights on to get people their pizza.
And he thought he, as opposed to getting fired, he thought he deserved an accommodation.
He says to me, he's like, oh, I got fired from, and he talked like this, oh, I got fired from Happy Joe's today for going around an ambulance with lights on. And I go,
you
well,
did what?
I said, Tom, yeah, no, you probably shouldn't be doing that.
Well, no, not the second time. That was what did it. That was the fact
you did it twice.
Well, I'd done it before. I thought I'd get some sort of commendation for being serious about getting their pizza on
getting
time.
Getting that pizza hot to me.
Right.
I tell you what, I
thought there'd be some sort of.
I got to agree with him. That's the sort of pizza driver I want.
I wanted him to know I take delivering pizza serious.
Well, right. But after the first time.
He's drafting behind the ambulance and until it's like, it's time to make my move. Tom Insidious.
Basinius. Not Insidious. Not like General Grievous. He's just a guy.
I thought they'd give me
And that's the guy who did stand-up as well?
He did stand-up comedy in Iowa City.
He had it. Now, whereas you, when you do it, you've got your whole bit about superheroes. He had a whole thing about Hamburger Helper.
All right. So my buddy Scott, my buddy Dana, go to see him in Iowa City because they get a tip. Scott's going to med school there, and I was living with Dana at the time in Dubuque, and I couldn't go, and I desperately wanted to because Dana came home.
They stopped breathing.
Dana said he couldn't breathe. He was laughing so hard. And they were the only two laughing at the comedy club. Because Tom's routine was basically he would go
Tom's
up there.
A doctor?
No, Scott's a doctor.
Well, Scott's a doctor.
Tom, I don't know what Tom does nowadays. I'm sure he's very successful because he's a real go-getter. One of his bits was that
probably a race car driver.
He put a white
he's
glove on
his probably an ambulance driver is what he is.
He put a glove on his hand, and he was doing an impression of the Hamburger Helper guy. But what Tom would do is he would deliver a joke, and no one would laugh except my friends Scott and Dana, who
were howling,
couldn't breathe because they just the idea of Tom
doing stand-up
that we knew doing stand-up was a riot. And Tom would deliver a joke, and it would bomb.
Like, hey, I'm a hamburger helper. Hey, help me, and I'll help you make some hamburgers.
Like that was the joke, and no one was laughing. And after every joke, Tom would look at the crowd and he'd go,
"Well, fuck you! I thought it was funny." I thought it was funny. Fuck you guys.
I think you should do that with your stand-up.
Well, I might. I might. I haven't bombed to that degree yet, but I'm sure I will at some point.
Well, that's just good stuff.
How much money do you think you make to be the water reservoir manager there in San Francisco?
Oh, I bet.
And you can't help but pee in the water.
I bet you make quite a... I'm going to say you make $95,000.
$111,000 a year.
I'm say $115,000.
$111,000 a year. His job is to safeguard the water supply.
Sure, I get it.
And he takes a pee in it. My guess is, too, that...
Might have been having a bad day.
Okay, well...
I'm going to show you.
All right. Have a drink after work.
You love sourdough, San Francisco? Here it comes.
You're all into some weird stuff, aren't you?
Then this is what you're going to get.
This is going to blow your mind.
Here comes a little San Francisco treat from yours truly. What do you think of that?
The Dirty Sanchez. Story from New Zealand. School principal's pants got set on fire at a swim meet.
Oh, you kids.
Well, no. This is one of those stories that this may be a yumbo, but he's the principal there at the high school.
Mm-hmm.
And he was operating the starting gun at the school's swimming event.
Gotcha.
Something he's done for years. He was eating a sandwich one minute and in the pool the next after his pants spontaneously ignited.
Well, at least it was at a swim meet. Into the pool.
He had stopped for a snack between races when he realized his pants were on fire.
Now, what kind of snack?
I knew that was going to be your question. A sandwich.
Is that a snack? Could be.
The starting gun caps in his pocket had burst into flames. He says they just spontaneously ignited. Basically, the starting gun cap self-ignited, which set fire to my shorts, which caused me to jump into the swimming pool. I was just standing
there
having
underway?
A sandwich, and then boom. It was just one of those freak out of the blue accidents.
I'm not sure you should be eating by the pool.
Well, he's not swimming, is he?
But I think there are signs that say no eating by the pool.
Oh, come on.
No, especially if you're an official. No eating by the pool.
Jumped into the water fully clothed to extinguish the fire, much to the confusion of all of the kids there at the swim event. He says, I think the novelty of me standing in the pool was more of interest to them. Taken to the hospital with a large burnt patch on his leg and later discharged. He says he's nursing his wound, getting plenty of hydration, and he says, I'm keeping it moist. And the shorts, he says, are not doing so good. He says it's quite depressing because it was only the second time I'd worn them.
I suppose that could be a response to anybody when they ask you how you doing. How you doing? Keeping it moist.
I'm just keeping it moist.
Keeping it moist.
You know, as
I'm not even supposed to be here.
Just keeping it moist. It's no big deal.
No big whoop.
You know, when you go to swim events, they usually have a little tone. It's weird that they would be firing actual guns.
Yeah, isn't it just something that just goes, beep?
Right.
They're firing off guns in the pool? Where did this take place?
New Zealand.
Oh, well, that could be different.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember back when I used to swim competitively. I think they had... Did they have guns or... I guess it depended on where you were going, because half the time you were swimming at a pool that wasn't yours. Yeah, just, you know... Just,
now, did you swim in just simple trunks, or did you have, like, a full body suit?
Well, not trunks. You'd wear a swimsuit. You'd wear, like, Speedos.
You'd wear a Speedo.
Yeah. Well, you're... It's
ooh,
a race.
La. Ooh la la. Jonesy the Chipmunk likes that. Friend of the Shameless Chocoholic, where, of course, you should be doing some Valentine's Day shopping if you're getting chocolates.
Not the worst idea I've heard.
Ooh la la.
Guy snuck fake pictures of him eating tacos with Rihanna into the Grammy Museum, and no one noticed for a month.
I like that.
Paz Dillon is this guy's name.
Paz Dillon?
Paz Dillon. Paz, P-A-Z, Dillon. Put a lot of Photoshop pictures of himself in the Grammy Museum. All of them are related to Mexican food.
Wonderful.
The stunt was to protest that the Grammys didn't nominate any independent artists.
Oh, so it's a protest.
Yeah. So he Photoshopped a bunch of pictures of him eating Mexican food with superstars, well, and then put them up in...
I prefer this protest over the one that Kanye West had.
Before he performed the heist, he took measurements and color matches to make sure that the pictures he took completely blended in with their surroundings, therefore being more likely to stay up. And it appeared to work. One caption on a photo of him holding a Grammy Award talked about, quote, rumors that he once ate 36 servings of the microwavable treat in a single setting on a dare by Calvin Harris.
This is like that Mindy Cohn being the world record holder of eating chicken wings.
He replaced a picture of Rihanna with a convincing replica and a photo of him photoshopped next to her eating a taco. He also added a section dedicated to burritos on the part of the display dedicated to the history of the Grammys. The most impressive feat he pulled off? A 4-foot portrait of himself cradling 3 Grammys next to identical pictures of John Mayer, Santana, and Loretta Lynn. Grammy officials were confused as to who could have smuggled the pictures into the building. So there's that.
I like it.
If this guy's going to be doing Photoshop pictures with Mexican food, we got to get him to do some sort of nacho radio stunt.
Absolutely,
with the Grammys.
Sure.
Here's Rihanna eating a plate of nachos.
That's what we need. Oh, it's too late for that this year, isn't it? Oh, I almost feel like Sheldon on Big Bang Theory. Oh, it's too late for that.
Oh,
as opposed to the soy bomb, we need someone to run around that said nacho radio.
Oh my God, what is soy bomb up to these days?
Not a clue.
That was something else. Today's Daily Dumbass Award winner foiled by a selfie. This is the world we live in. Pittsburgh guy on the run, trying to flee assault charges because he posted a selfie on Facebook while sitting on a Greyhound bus out of town. According to Ambridge Police Chief James Mann, quote, "We like it when dumb criminals assist us in our investigation."
Sure they do.
Donald Harrison is the winner of today's Daily Dumbass. Donald Harrison.
What a dumbass.
Yeah, he had been living there north of Pittsburgh when he was charged with assaulting a woman and refusing to let her leave the apartment after an argument in late January. An hour after the woman called police, they learned that he was on the run because he had posted a selfie of himself on the Greyhound bus with a caption that said, "It's time to leave PA." Police couldn't find him right away, but the woman called the cops after she noticed the Facebook selfie.
It said,
"On my way to Spartanburg, South Carolina, say a prayer for me." So they were able to find him there because they knew exactly where he was.
Very poetic.
The picture was very helpful when they just forward that on to the people in South Carolina and said, "Hey, when this guy gets off the bus, could you pick him up? That would be great."
Sure. Happy to do it.
Yeah. Actually, the bus pulled in and they instructed the driver to keep the door shut until the cops showed up. And the rest is history. So, yeah, taking a selfie of yourself while you're fleeing the cops, pretty stupid. That's what happens. You, congratulations, Mr. Harrison. You're today's daily.
Congratulations, sir. Congratulations.
What a dumbass.
Now he's putting the pot roast into the oven. Time for another beer, I say, chef. Paycheck, Mr. Herman. Mr. Herman. So the show, I don't know if it's going to be on in February. I don't think
we were promised February.
Well, I mean, look, man.
And then when's the second one? When's the second episode?
I don't know. Because it's supposed to be like, you know, I think 8 episodes or something is what we signed up for.
Right. So this could be like well into the 30s.
Well, you mean the 2030s?
Yes. Owen's actually going to have to take the show over.
Well, I got my designated driver, don't I? Works out nice.
That's not bad.
No, see, I know what I'm doing. Take that. That's the show, everybody. Thanks for listening to the podcast here at NachoRadio.com.
It's been brought to you by the Clubhouse Indoor Golf and Lounge, 53rd Avenue in Bettendorf. State-of-the-art PGA simulators, a full bar, a comfortable lounge. Great place to hang out. Play some of the world's most well-known courses. You can get a tee time today by calling 563-322-1561. Check them out at qcclubhouse.com. They're open 7 days a week. You can play with friends or join a league. They've got several of them. As a matter of fact, they've got weekly tournaments for Quad City Mallards tickets. The clubhouse also offers clubhouse repair and customization lessons for all skill levels. Drink specials, lots to do there, including pool, shuffleboard, bumper pool, foosball, darts, bags, pinball, and giant Jenga. A perfect venue for any event and a perfect hangout for whether you're a golfer or not. Again, the Clubhouse Indoor Golf Lounge in Bettendorf. Yeah.
Raji. Thanks for listening, everyone. Keep it moist.
Yeah. And happy birthday to everyone celebrating a birthday today. And if you'd like to get a birthday wish in, you can use the text line, Harrington Pub's text line, 470-23-NACHO. Harrington's Pub, Cumberland Square Drive, Bettendorf. Live music every Thursday night starting at 8. And this week it's Powell. Now, I remember that there was an Emerson, Lake, and Powell album.
What?
Because there was a Cozy Powell who was a drummer.
Emerson, Lake, and Powell?
Emerson, Lake, and Powell, and they had a minor hit. This would have been, picture it, 1986? And look that up for me. It was, what was their minor hit? Did it have something to do, not like Silver and Gold.
Learning to Fly.
No, not Learning to Fly.
Touch and Go.
Touch and Go. Was it Touch and Go? Touch and Go. Could have been Touch and Go.
This is the first I've heard of any of
this.
Touch
and Go.
The big single was, yeah, let's say it's Touch and Go.
I think it was Touch and Go.
It was a familiar return to the ELP style.
It was, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Carl, because Palmer couldn't be in the band because he was in Asia.
Yes.
Of Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. So they replaced him with this Powell guy.
Mm-hmm. But Cozy played with other people. Cozy Powell. This is not the same Powell that's probably playing at Harrington's Pub, I'm guessing.
Well, you don't know that it is.
Because
isn't.
I think Cozy Powell might be dead.
Could be Colin Powell.
Yeah, that'd be something.
Right?
Drink specials every day, home of the Quad
Cities. This next song's about some aluminum tubes. Got me in some trouble. 1, 2, 3, 4.
And to help me out with this song, Faye Weebill and the Tubes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are weapons of mass destruction. Enjoy our set. I'm Powell. Let's rock this joint.
Easy. Home of the Quad Cities Best Bloody Mary and the 32-ounce Sneaky Pete. That's Harrington Pub's Cumberland Square Drive in Bettendorf. Today's show has originated from the Hickey Brothers Cigar Lounge and Cigar Store and Hookah Lounge Studio. Cigars are meant to be enjoyed in comfort. BYOB and choose from dozens of different cigar brands to enjoy in a comfy leather chair at the Quad City's only indoor cigar lounge. Hickey Brothers Cigar Store and Hookah Lounge, 18th Street in the District of Rock Island, and online at HickeyBrothers.com. And speaking of the District of Rock Island, we're pretty excited about this. We got a show coming up at Ribco that we are presenting.
Along with the Rock Island Brewing Company.
Along with the Rock Island Brewing Company. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our 24/7 music stations, we would hope that you would check those out now.
Definitely.
Those are available at NachoRadio.com, and there are apps as well. A variety of different ways that you can get those.
Local H, man. February 28th. Local H.
Planet Alt is powered by the Rock Island Brewing Company in the District of Rock Island. And along with the Rock Island Brewing Company, Nacho Radio presents Local H with special guest Satellite Hearts and Perma Smile, as Dave mentioned, Saturday night, February 28th at 9 o'clock. Advance tickets are available at Ribco and at Ribco.com.
I would get my tickets in advance for this show. That's for damn sure. It's 21 and over.
21 so. And over. General admission show. And, yeah, looking forward to that. And, of course, then there's our rock station, Solid, which is powered by Premier Jewelry and Loan.
And I'm going to throw some Local H on Solid and Alta right after the show, I think.
That's a good idea.
Diamond Jewelry. Is it the best idea?
It's better than peeing in the public water. Diamond Jewelry is on sale now through Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day, just a quick reminder, is this Saturday. And the Diamond Jewelry is on sale now through Valentine's Day at the Quad City's number one pawn shop, Premier Jewelry and Loan. Get incredible deals on diamond stud earrings and engagement rings starting at, get this, just $200. And they've got a vast array of jewelry there. It's going to take you all day to look through it all. Buy your diamonds this Valentine's Day at Premier Jewelry and Loan, voted number one for exceptional service, quality products, and unbeatable prices. And you can get more diamond for your dollar at Premier Jewelry and Loan opposite Duck Creek Plaza in Bettendorf. They, of course, listen to Solid and Nacho Radio, and when you're in there, make sure you let them know that you do too.
Here's a text from the Harrington's Pub text line, 470-23-NACHO. It's from the 563 area code, and it says, I bought four tickets last night.
Nice!
Local H, yeah. It's going to be a hell of a show.
Friend. Way
Make
to
that
go.
Happen. We get a couple other concert things we're going to be talking about here, but not today.
Fingers crossed.
No.
We can talk about that soon.
Yeah, we'll have some more. It's going to be a very, very interesting summer, friends. Just trust me when I tell you that much. Thanks for listening. And
enjoy the music station.
Yeah, go rock out, friends. Check out Planet Alt or Solid. And if there's anything you guys want to hear in the next hour or so, feel free to text me on the Harrington's Pub thing, because I got to get the tunes ready for the rest of the day on those channels, all right? Cool. Till we get a chance to do it for you again tomorrow, keep it moist.
And you stay classy, Quad Cities.
Hey, what happened?
I can't find the drop.
Oh, boy.
Sorry.
Come on, Quad Cities, representing. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Nav and board, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock out,
come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.